welcome to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor. And now, Sean Taylor! Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to my podcast. This is the second one I've ever done, and hopefully this one has a few more enhanced features. For instance, if you get tired of a certain section or interview, then feel free to advance your iPod, and it should go to the next chapter rather than going to the end of the podcast. Tonight, the spotlight shines on Joe and Kay Cawley as they bring us the debut of The Elderly News. Later, we visit Rachel Cipriotti in Tanglewood, Massachusetts, as she gives us the lowdown on the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And finally, we go to the Jersey Shore and get advice from Sid Taylor on how to body surf. And now is the time of the show where we're going to check in with the old age home. We're in luck because I happen to know and be related to someone who lives in an old age home, and his name is Joseph Cawley. I am going to try to get him on the line. I will warn you ahead of time that it's very likely that his wife, Kay Cawley, my grandmother, will also join us on the call. They like to take the calls cooperatively. But we'll give it a try, see what happens, and hopefully we'll find out just what's going on in elderly news.
Hello.
Hello, Grandma. This is Sean.
Well, for goodness sakes, how are you?
I'm all right. I was...
Well, wait a minute. Let me get Sam. Just a minute.
Okay. Big shot.
Hello, Grandpa.
Dude, you didn't burn that building down in New York, did you?
No.
I think that sounds like Sean's doing. So how do you like New York, kid?
I do. I love it a lot. I was calling because since I've been in New York, I figured out how to do this recorded radio show.
Oh, good, good.
And I started this. It's called a podcast.
I like
a podcast. PODCAST.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I was wondering if Grandpa or, you know, both of you guys wanted to be on it. Last time, Mom was on it. Or Kitsy.
What did they do? What did she do?
She answered questions about serial killers.
Oh, dear. Oh, I don't know.
How long have you been in New York now, Sean?
Oh, about 6 years.
6 years, gee, time flies.
But all I do is I just ask you questions. I was going to ask Grandpa, I was going to ask, you guys live in a retirement home, is that correct?
Yeah, well, that's it has different kinds of names, but that fits it. Yeah, we have big buildings here, 4 or 5 stories high.
Couple hundred people in various states of getting old. And set piano and all.
There's more wheelchairs around here than regular chairs. If you know what that means.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, it's really funny.
You'll push the button and then it will be recorded, is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I have this contraption. It hooks onto my cell phone.
Oh.
And then it it amps up the our voices and then records onto a micro cassette recorder.
Oh, wonderful.
It's pretty cool.
If we understood it, yeah.
You still live in the same place?
I live in Queens, which is where the Mets play, too. So it's kind of, yeah. I mean, I've moved around a little bit within Queens, but always within Queens.
That's near where the fire was, isn't it? Or...
There was
no,
a...
the fire wasn't in Queens.
No, it was in Queens, but it was in the upper New York, was it?
Yeah, Upper East Side. It was just across the East River.
That's not far from you, huh?
Geographically, it's not, but there's a whole, you know, there's a big river right in between, so.
Okay, so you want to ask us some questions, is that correct?
Yeah.
And you can wash out anything that doesn't sound good or that
exactly.
Wouldn't you? Okay.
But I bet everything that you and I and Grandpa say will sound good. But
well,
in the event there's something, then obviously I could take it out.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you know, if you don't think it sounds good, take it out, okay?
Well, are you guys having a fun time?
Are we having a what?
A fun time.
Well, not as much fun as we'd like to have.
Except that at our age, we're having as much fun as most people our age have.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a nice way to live, you know, and we don't participate as much as we should.
But we want to tell you, Sean, they have a special day here. They call it an Olympic Day for the inmates here. And they have the wheelchair race. You know, they have these people out there in the middle of this big
parking lot. It is.
Parking lot. It's
driveway.
It's hard blacktop. And these guys are pushing the wheels, going down there. They race for about 50 yards or need to get a prize. Then they had that prize for ladies' best putter and men's best putter. And who do you think won?
You won.
Yeah, we both won.
Oh, you both won?
Well, I won the men's and Kay won the ladies.
But you have to admit there was very little competition.
Yeah, you can tell if we won, it couldn't be that funny. A lot of these people here, I'm surprised. Some have played golf, and I think the majority of these people never played.
I believe that, too.
I don't know why or what happened, but... Mm-hmm. I also won the softball throw. Threw it about 20 yards. The other guys are just looping it out about 20 feet. they could hardly walk and pick the ball up. So I had easy going.
Well, how many, let's see, do you get gold medals when you win these things?
No.
It's a replica of those. It's just the same size as Olympic medal, but it's cardboard.
It's just, you know, a little...
And it's painted gold. I mean, if you didn't look real close, you might think it's an Olympic medal.
Well, are you wearing it right now?
Oh no. They'd laugh at us if we did.
Yeah. And everybody didn't participate either. There were just people who wanted to, felt like they wanted to that day. And all,
a lot
you know.
Of people that are so badly off that they can't really do much, you know.
Yeah, you didn't have to be in very good shape to win, is what he's saying. Because the people here they're in, you know, a lot of people are 100 or nearing 100. Many are over 90.
And one thing, for dinner, you must wear long trousers. Isn't that something?
And the ladies, too. The ladies don't wear shorts.
The ladies, that shorts, you have to review about below the knee or something?
Yes, uh-huh. We all wear slacks, you know, long pants.
Well, you don't want to be too distracting to the men, right?
Well, that's it, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, your grandma has
and
all
your wrinkles show anyway.
Your grandma has all these old geezers looking at her all the time.
No, I don't either. No, that's not true. Don't put that in, John. Don't put anything like that in.
Well, they like it here, I know.
No, don't put anything like that in, John. That would hurt some of these ladies' feelings, and I would not want that.
Well, Sean would like it. You're his grandmother.
Yeah, but we wouldn't. No. But the people are really nice, Sean. The residents and the people who work here, they're phenomenal.
Don't tell him that. He'll think it's real nice people at these retirement homes. As long as you can, try to stay out of a retirement home. Uh-huh. Of course, if you get to the point where you have to go, well, some kind of problem of some sort.
Yeah, well, see, like my problem is my eyes. I have trouble doing things these days. So we're better off if I don't cook because I spend a lot of time cleaning up messes I made.
Aww.
Yeah, and I had a stroke 6-7 years ago.
So we're in the group of people who belong here.
Well, that's quite a comeback to come back from not. I mean, first of all, Grandma, you can't see the ball, and yet you won the gold medal in the women's putt.
And all I had to do was see the ball and the thing, and I just hit it, and it went in.
It was only about 10 feet or 8.
No, and there were only about 10 or 15 ladies if there were that many.
Some of these ladies couldn't even hit the ball.
And I doubt if they ever had an opportunity before, a lot of them.
Grandma.
I mean, it really wasn't an accomplishment, Sean.
I think you're being humble, Grandma. You
no,
won.
I'm being honest.
It's the Olympics. You won, and so did Grandpa. And Grandpa won two events.
Yeah, but...
it wasn't but much.
No, really.
We didn't have much competition.
I mean, it was just a little fun thing they did. They do a lot of nice little things.
You know, I could never beat you in golf, Sean, so that's what kept me back here. Sean always outdrove me.
He did?
Yeah, number three tee in fairways.
Yeah?
He put the ball on the green.
Oh, no.
I'd get about two-thirds of the way there, and were you taking some of the steroids or something?
Well, as I recall, you beat me by like about 10 strokes every time we played. I mean, you were good on that course.
Well, short game stuff I'm a lot better than long driving. Because now, you know.
Well, now I don't feel so bad if I lose to the gold medalist in the putting, you know?
Yeah, right.
Are you getting rich or are you getting not rich?
Right now, I'm not. You know what? Let me just finish asking a couple more questions, and then off. And then
right. Okay.
Do they have like a newsletter?
Yes.
Yeah, they put the bulletins, I guess. It tells what's going on in the place and who's coming to visit to talk or entertain. We have some entertainment. Some people come in here. Some of them are pretty good singers. They come, I think they come here once a year, and we just happen to catch them the first time. And they sing a lot of these old songs, the ones we liked back in the 30s and 40s. And they have, what do you call it when you all join in and sing?
Karaoke?
Karaoke, yeah. But no, they don't sing individually.
Oh.
But they have these entertainers, and they sing along with the entertainers.
Just sing along, yeah.
Better,
yeah.
Do you? You don't run your own bank there yet, do you?
Danny, he's trying to get his thing done.
Oh, okay. I'm ready for questions.
Okay. Well, I'll just ask one more.
You like to see funny things or know funny things that happen?
Yeah, if you have an anecdote, for sure.
Yeah. Well, for a part of the time we were in what do you call it there? That Tandem Village. It's a rehabilitative place.
Yeah, rehab place.
Rehab place, yeah.
He was there.
I was there for about 3 weeks, I guess. They were trying to...
After he had a stroke.
After I had my stroke. But anyway, we were in this... we had this one room, and of course, there were several other rooms, a lot of them. And they tended to be careful. Don't close your doors at night and don't let, because they claim people liable to come in. You have to mark all your clothing, put your name on your shoes and everything. And so one night, I had a nice green shirt that I liked, and it was hanging in a closet right next to the door. So evidently, somebody comes in, your grandmother's asked me about my green shirt, and I said, well, it's over in the closet there, and we checked it wasn't there. So we reported it to the management, but the next morning, the next day, we were walking down the hallway, and here comes this little guy in a wheelchair with my shirt on.
But you know what? I think now that we are older, we realize people forget me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He probably thought that was his.
Yeah, that should be.
The door was probably open, and the closet door was ajar, and I wouldn't say he stole it.
He probably thought it was his.
That's right, but he probably thought it was his.
The funny part was he had a smile on his face, and he was John Lee going down the hallway in his wheelchair with my shirt.
Did you ask him nicely or did you rip it off?
We didn't say anything. We just told the nurse that they had there. The girl said, evidently they had trouble with this guy before.
You gotta see what room he goes in, and then when he goes to sleep, slip in there and take it off out of his closet.
That's well, probably just what they did after he went to sleep. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Joe and Kay Colley, for joining me on the Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast.
Well, thank you.
Sean.
We wish we could hear it. Now, are we going to be able to hear it?
You have to go to New York.
Well, I'll find a way for you guys to get to hear it. Thanks again.
Whatever
Sean,
you can do.
Thanks, honey. It was fun, and I hope that you don't lose your job on account of it. Be very careful what you say.
He's going to get promoted.
Joe and Kay Colley. So now let's move from elderly news to the symphony news. Who knows what happens in Tanglewood? Rachel Soprati knows what happens in Tanglewood. That is the summer hangout for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And she's there too, so let's put on our high culture hats and talk to her and find out what's going on in the symphony. Hello, Rachel.
Hi.
So I was calling because I was just kind of curious about Tanglewood, because I know that's where you are right now, is in Tanglewood. Is that right?
That is right.
Where is Tanglewood located?
Tanglewood is in Lenox, Massachusetts, which is in the Berkshires, which is basically the extreme western part of Massachusetts.
I understand there's some sort of affiliation to the Boston Symphony, and that's what brings you to Tanglewood. Is that correct?
Yes. Tanglewood, it is the Boston Symphony, really. It's a place. It's almost like an estate. It technically was an estate that was donated to the Boston Symphony Orchestra. And in the summers, the symphony sort of relocates out to Tanglewood, and they do three concerts a week.
To people that are not very musically inclined, I'm one of those. What is there, if they were to go to Tanglewood, what could they see on any given day?
The nice thing about Tanglewood is that it's very immersed in nature. It's a big thing. So all of the different venues on the estate have the ability where you can sit outside and listen to the music. So you can sit, you can lie down on the lawn, you can have a picnic, and just sort of look up at the sky or the stars and listen to music.
You know how like in Phish concerts they always have, and Grateful Dead concerts, they used to always have bootleg copies of like, people make their own copies of the music.
Yes.
Does anyone ever do that at the Boston Symphony?
I don't think so. Although, you know, that's a good idea. I've never actually seen anyone do that. I think people are more, because you can get classical recordings so easily. That would be so much of a higher quality, and they're not that expensive. So I think people aren't that.
Oh, yeah. Before I called you, I did a little bit of research on the Boston Symphony. And
did you?
Do you know who the Boston Pop, how the Boston Pops relate to the symphony?
The Pops, I mean, they're all under the same umbrella organization. Most of the players in the symphony play in the Pops. All of the first chair of each section doesn't play in the Pops.
See,
they're part of a different...
That's exactly what I read, and that blows my mind, because isn't the first chair the best?
Yes, but see, the first chair, they're all part of the Boston Symphony Orchestra Chamber Players.
Okay.
The Boston Symphony Orchestra Chamber Players are made up of the first chair of each section.
Like, what if you really like the Boston Pops, and then, you know, you end up being better than the first chair, so you become the first chair, and now you no longer get to play with the Pops?
I think actually that the players would prefer to be first chair than to play with the Pops.
But then the chamber orchestra, like, do you think they all like reminisce and they're like, man, I remember my days at the Pops, and then they probably want to go back, right?
I don't think so. I really don't, because like the prestige and like stuff that comes with being like the first, you know, the first chair trombone for the principal is what you're really called with the Boston Orchestra. I think it sort of trumps playing with the Pops.
If you had to go to either a Boston Pops concert or
Boston Chamber Orchestra concert. They're both exactly the same time. You couldn't be at both places at the same, you know, you had to be at one or the other. Which one would you rather go to?
Chamber. Definitely, no question.
Now, is that...
The Boston, that's because I love classical music, and I really get to hear chamber music, especially chamber music played as well as the principals and the BSO would play it.
Could, like, what if you...
Boston concerts are very fun, but they're not as serious. But they're really fun. I love it. When people come and visit me in Boston, I like to take them to Pops concerts, even if they're not a classical music band, because they're fun. You know, they'll play the Star Spangled Banner, they'll play, you know, jazz, or they'll play Broadway tunes, or they'll play Christmas songs if it's, you know, the season. Like,
do they,
it's a lot more fun.
Do they take requests?
No, not really. You do have to, I mean, when you have a huge orchestra, you have to plan in advance what you're going to play so you can rehearse it and stuff. You can't just sort of play on the fly.
Do the Pops or Chamber Orchestra, do they do encores, like when they're done with the concert and everyone claps loud enough and they come back?
The Pops do.
Oh.
Pops, they have planned encores every night, but they don't, like, because they're a large orchestra, you can't just decide, oh, it's on a whim to play an encore. You have to have something planned. They don't play it if, you know, the applause isn't loud enough, but...
That would be really difficult when they leave. They all have to leave their instruments and then know that, like, when they clap, I gotta come back to my chair. I'm gonna play this clarinet because that's Shirley's chair.
Yeah, but they don't actually leave their instruments because they'll still be on stage.
Oh.
What happens as you are showing your classical music ignorance here during a classical concert? As you know, once the concert ends, everyone gets up, everyone claps, they all bow. And then the conductor will leave the stage, but the musicians will stay.
Oh, so when you do the encore,
and then
the conductor will
come out, and everyone will clap, and then he'll leave the stage again, and then he'll come back on if everyone's still clapping, and then maybe he'll do an encore. But again, that happens at Pops concerts. It won't happen at like a Boston Symphony Orchestra concert. They don't do encores.
Well, if there's one event to see in Tanglewood this summer, what is the event?
I would say that especially if you're not a classical music lover, the event to see is actually happening August 12th, and it's Film Night at Tanglewood. Film Night, they have it annually, and John Williams conducts the Boston Symphony Orchestra, not the Pops. He comes in, he conducts the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and they play film music. This year, Yo-Yo Ma will be there. He'll be playing excerpts from Memoirs of a Geisha, which he, you know, soundtrack he played on. It was very obviously a recent movie. And they're also going to be doing a bunch of music from all of the Star Wars movies, all six of them now. And it's going to have originally written narration, which will be narrated by none other than James Earl Jones.
Wow.
Yeah, who was, you know, of course, the voice of Darth Vader. So that's going to be a really fun night. I'm definitely going to go and...
All right. Well, thanks, Rachel Soprati, for joining us on my second ever podcast. And I will talk to you soon, I hope.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Once again, that was Rachel Soprati with Symphony News. Now let's move from symphony to surfing. Not regular old surfing or web surfing, but body surfing.
So right now, this is Sean Taylor. We're joined with Sid Taylor, and he is my dad, but he's also the guy who taught me how to body surf. And I'm out here now at the Jersey Shore right now. So I, Sid, or Dad, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So right now, though, I am in between going to on trips to the Jersey Shore, which is the ocean, and I am in need of some advice on how to catch a wave.
Well, you called the right guy, because I'm an expert.
Well, what I was hoping you'd do is, like, I kept on, like, me and my friend Charles were both catching waves, and he was able to go take them a lot further. Now, do you want to be on top of the wave or within the wave when you're out there, you know, like when you catch it initially?
The key is timing the wave so that just before it breaks, you shoot forward and paddle as fast as you can until you catch the wave and you're in it not on top of it. You're in the wave, and as it shoves you forward, you just go with the wave.
So should you be holding your breath the whole time?
Only if you're being thrown under the wave. This happens quite often in my case. And it ends up that you end up being thrown into the sand, and sometimes it takes the skin right off your nose and off your forehead, and then you think you're going to drown. So definitely hold your breath, no matter what, just in case.
Because, like, sometimes I happen to see some of these kids out there that are riding right on top of the waves, and they go so far. I think, is that just because they're little kids?
It's definitely because of little kids, and obviously I'm like 175 pounds and, you know, 6'2". So I'm pretty long as well, and when I kind of have to lay quite, like, laterally, because if I have to stay as flat, as much body surface as you can on the water. Because if you get crunched up, it pulls you under, or you miss the wave. And little kids, no worries. They're just light little things that just float, sort of like seaweed on the waves.
You know, a couple of times when I've taken waves and I've gotten a little bit of momentum going, just by luck, because I wasn't doing the right procedure, I end up bumping into someone. Does that ever happen to you? And what is the etiquette there?
Well, the key is to bump into the right people. And definitely the etiquette is to say you're sorry and get their name if it's someone worth getting to know.
Who are the right people? Is that be like,
let's face it, Sean. If you're body surfing in an area where there's nothing but young kids and boys, then you don't care if you bump into people, knock them over and stuff. But if you're body surfing in an area that's frequented by, like, the, you know, the college bikini team, then you may want to purposely bump into people and, you know, apologize profusely and end up getting to know those people.
One last question I have is, I was out there yesterday, and a wave hit a girl, and her bathing suit was temporarily knocked to the side.
Now, this is a very important thing I want to teach you about. I failed to teach you when you were younger, obviously, but usually in the Atlantic Ocean, the water's quite cool.
Yeah.
And as the young women come out, and they tiptoe out into the waves, and they barely get over the waves, but they basically try not to get very wet, especially their hair wet. And then when they get into the first big wave, voila, it knocks them so hard, and the force of that water oftentimes lifts or removes their upper part of their bathing garments.
And at the same time, they scream. And so you look over, and the reason why I'm asking this question is because I got caught looking over at her, and she was mad at me, when in fact she screamed, so I looked over, and there I see, like, you know, her bathing suit's slightly to the side.
Here's a lesson. Okay, remember this. You might want to write it down or record this. But as they're walking in, and you see the same type of behavior I just alluded to earlier, as they're tiptoeing into the cold water, going, ew, ew, okay, as they're getting closer out to the waves where they're breaking, just cruise on over, like, you just stay within the waves, low, keep your head just above the waves, and you kind of get yourself in a position where you're very close, right front on. When the wave hits them face on, their face is full of salt water. You see what you want to see? Okay, then you turn around. You don't keep looking at them.
Oh, see, that was the problem, is that, like, it was one girl screamed, so I looked over in that direction, and then I looked at the other girl who, you know, apparently was staring at me, so, like, I got caught. But really, I didn't feel like I deserved to be caught. Like, I felt like the situation was such that, hey, she was the one wearing a very skimpy bikini. She's the one who screamed. I just happened to look over as a concerned citizen, and then I get in trouble, and I feel, I didn't get in trouble. That was another question, is do I get in trouble? Like, am I creepy?
No, I don't want to answer that, but because I'm your dad. But what I would like to say is, remember when you were a peeping Tom and you got arrested? It's the same principle when you go out in the wave.
Oh, and I guess we're losing connection there. Anyway, if you want to know any more about tonight's podcast, if you have any questions, then feel free to log on to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor and go to the media section and log on to the message board and comment. Let me know what's on your mind. What do you want to know more about? Feel free to ask away and do it under the guise of anonymity, too, because anyone can post, meaning that you don't need to register in order to comment. But if you do want to register and you want to use your own name, then feel free to do that as well. So that is The Spotlight with Sean Taylor, and then go to the media section. Thank you so much for listening to my second ever podcast. In particular, I'd like to thank my guests, Sid Taylor, Rachel Soprati, and Joe and Kay Colley. I'll see you next week on The Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast.